This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. The Fantasy Footballers Podcast, Tuesday episode of the show. Jason Moore is here.
Hello.
Mike, the Fantasy Hitman, present, accounted for.
Blue?
No. I was hoping you weren't going to do that.
Why?
I'm Andy Holloway.
Why?
I don't know.
I don't like fun.
Is that fun?
Was that fun?
Yeah. I had a
Just
good time.
Any joke? That's my kid's policy.
Any joke is a good joke?
Any joke's a good joke. As long as you're not being serious.
There are a handful of jokes that are not good jokes. I mean, I just can't stand when they're said. And we're pretty close on that last one because it's like...
It's a color joke.
Did you get your hair cut? If you say, oh, I got lots of them cut, I'm going to slap you.
Yeah, see, I'm going to slap you
in the face.
Really?
Yeah, because you're...
That is an ultimate dad joke.
That is a dad's dad joke.
Yeah.
That's a grandpa joke.
A G-paw joke.
It's unacceptable to me. Those are, you know, oh.
Okay.
Did the Deucers like the color joke that Mike made? Were you down with that?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. That's a man who's not sure which boss to please.
It's not a joke that's going to get deep belly laughter.
Probably shouldn't be discussed, really.
It's just more of a.
Yeah. Yeah. No, if I mean,
say hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike. Oh, God, oh my gosh. just get rid of my life. There's a handful of those jokes that just, they irritate me like crazy.
Okay, I'm making a note.
Yeah. Wait, to say them more or say them less?
No, making a note to point out Jason's jokes to himself.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Thank you.
Oh, no.
They're going to be good.
No. And you will have to look in the mirror and you'll have a reckoning of, are they funny or do you tell bad jokes?
We'll find out.
Well, we got an episode for you today. We're diving into, I think we have six shocking stats from 2023.
They're electric.
They're very interesting, and they all have follow-up questions that we'll discuss on the show today. As we look forward to 2024, it is a great time to head over to ultimatedraftkit.com because if you pick up the UDK before March 1st, you are entered to win a Listener League spot, a chance to come and play with the three of us in the Listener League. You get the lowest possible price. If you get the UDK Plus, you get a chance to jump right into the Dynasty Pass. There are three releases of the Dynasty Pass, the pre-combine, post-combine, and post-NFL draft releases with rankings. We've got all the college production profiles in there, rookie mock drafts, team opportunity pages, trade targets, a lot of good Dynasty content. And the UDK Plus also unlocks the Draft Analyzer when we release that this summer. And the Ultimate DFS Pass, you'll get access to that throughout the 2024 season. All of that's available at ultimatedraftkit.com right now, so please check that out. And let's jump into the quick question of the day. What is one uncommon rule you think should be added to every league, and how...
Well, that's very strong, though.
The every league part?
Yeah.
To some leagues, you're saying?
Yeah, I like my answer for just it's a fun thing, but I'm not mandating this.
Well, the second part of the question was, how do you know where to draw the line of trying to implement new rules, which I also relate to that question, because there are people in our league that just they're just always coming up with some new craziness.
I think you just don't need to add things to add things. If you find something that makes your league better, then vote and consider it. And a lot of times what we've done in our league is we've done kind of what the NFL does, which is, hey, we're going to implement this season. It's not like a forever rule change. And then if we like it, we'll cement it and make it a forever rule change or not. Since I'm talking, I'll answer mine. This has shifted for me, Mike, to I want it in every league.
Yeah, I'm good with
that. Every single league I play in, now that I've played in this format enough, I prefer playing against the league median as well as the head-to-head matchup. I wasn't sure prior to really experiencing it if I would, because there's something fun about anyone beating anyone on any given week. You know, the worst team can surprise the number one seed. And so I thought maybe, and what playing against league median is, what that means is basically every single week you're playing two wins and losses. You're playing against your opponent, and then also you get a win or a loss if you're in the top half of scorers that week or if you're in the bottom half of scorers that week. So you can go 2-0 on a week, 1-1 on a week, or 0-2. And I thought it might take a little bit of that randomness away in a negative way, but I'm telling you, I never, ever, ever cared more about the rest of my league and how they were doing and how their matchups were going. Yep. And I paid more attention in those leagues where it was like, okay, I'm not just looking at my matchup. I'm saying, okay, I really want my guys to do well and I want his guys to do bad, but I'm looking at the whole league. Oh, am I going to cross that threshold? Am I going to be in the top half? I need to score more points or whatever. It was just more fun for me.
You probably couldn't find out till the next day because of how added complexity and where you knew teams would end up.
Well, I mean, you're not going to find out until the last snap of the week, but that's probably the same for your matchup as well.
It wasn't like a bit of a, you know, I guess it's not quite in that tier, but the whole argument like the participation trophy situation, right?
Not at all.
Like you lose some of the extremes of emotion, win or loss, because you've got this consolation prize of the median.
100%. That was my worry. Things like that. I really genuinely did not. I thought it would make it less fun. More fair, but less fun.
There you go.
And it made it more fair and more fun, which is why I think every league should have it.
I like the point, Jay, of pointing out that your rooting interest going into Monday night is no longer just that person's matchup. Like there could be a bunch of things that could change, and the kind of the overarching to me, the reason you go with that is, I guess, to eliminate. You were worried to eliminate fun, but it's eliminate the really bad beats of you're the second highest scorer in the league. You just happen to play against the first. Meanwhile, some turd over here wins a weekend with 68 points. Meanwhile, you have 150, and it's just like
some turd.
That feels
that's a turd.
That's got to be Josh.
It feels so bad, and it does happen a lot. So, in the leagues that I've played with the league median, it doesn't seismically change everything, but it does prevent a little bit of the weird where like the team scored the seventh most points and they sneak in with the sixth seed because they just happened to get that schedule this year.
You guys are somewhat persuasive here. I feel like I'm on this one in particular, I'm stuck in the maybe too much of an old ways mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, it does really, really suck to be the second highest scorer and not get any credit for the week. It also, you know, I haven't done it. We haven't done it in our main leagues.
Right.
However, I could see it making the weekend more exciting in the respect that sometimes you face an opponent and it is an unmitigated blowout early and the weekend's over.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you are fighting for a median score, you are rooting, like let's say you already know you're going to lose your matchup. At least you're rooting for something the rest of the weekend.
Yeah.
I'm
telling you, it
maybe.
Is, if you haven't played in this, look to add it in your leagues. I will be bringing it up to vote in our league of record probably the next 4 years until I convince everyone to do it. And
ooh,
then,
the odds of that going through are low, huh?
I don't know.
About third time's the try.
Yeah, sounds like we got 3 yes votes potentially here, but it really is fun, so I highly recommend it.
Some turd already said decline.
Yeah.
He's already voting against.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Makes sense for him to not want that because it makes it more fair and takes away his illegitimate wins. That's the rule that I think does actually improve things.
Your other idea is more like fun.
It's first downs, and that it's been gaining more and more in popularity. And the argument for it is simply,
a point or what?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it needs to be—a half, a full point, because you don't. It just like a PPR, where if you get a whole point just for catching the ball, that to us over time felt like that's too overpowered. Where if a receiver is catching a pass for 2 yards, they should not be getting more points than an RB who just carried the ball 9 yards. You know what I mean? So you have to find the balance, but that trying to at
so
least
just to be clear, you're talking about rewarding players when they gain a first down.
Yeah, so it's 3rd and 1, running back carries the ball, they only get 2 yards, but those in the NFL, that's humongous.
So you just want to make Jalen Hurts even more powerful.
And they're more difficult.
That could be a problem.
To get. Not every 2 yards is as easy and difficult to get. When the defense is stacked up against the run because they've got to stop you for 1 yard, that's a tough yard to get.
So the point being, fantasy football is not real life NFL football. But if you can find some places where it starts to match a little bit more, I'm not opposed to it.
According to Mr. Borgannoni himself, he said it double rewards touchdowns because touchdowns count as first downs in the
NFL.
Yeah,
that they shouldn't in this type of a scoring format.
Yeah, you'd have to make that adjustment.
Well,
interesting. I don't know if you can.
You can very easily. You make touchdowns worth 5 points.
Yeah, that would fix it.
You solved the problem. Jason,
done.
The problem was put in front of you, and I mean, a mere moment.
Yeah,
you solved it.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I already knew that solution.
He was figuring that out while you were thinking more color jokes.
Yeah.
Well done. All right. Let's talk news.
News and notes from around the league.
All right. We are into the off-season mode. A lot of chatter right now around the NFL, around players and whether they'll be on the same rosters in coming weeks. Today is the first day teams can designate franchise and transition tags. The franchise tag deadline is March 5th. Wow. Free agency less than a month away. So you already have teams talking about, you know, like Kirk Cousins' situation is an interesting one to watch, right? Unrestricted free agent.
Yeah, I mean,
can't be franchise tagged.
I think half the league should be going after him. He's talked about giving the Vikings a discount, but I mean, if I'm another GM and I am a quarterback away, there's not quarterbacks out there to get. So you gotta, he'll get a bunch of money offered to him.
See, the only reason I could be surprised the other direction is because we sat here last offseason expecting an actual battle for Lamar Jackson, and the league ignored him.
Well,
if the league knew last year that Jackson was going to come back, and the league knows this year that he just prefers to be with the Vikings, maybe you won't get competition.
It wasn't really. This is a different battle because the Lamar Jackson was non-exclusive franchise tag.
Would you say that there was a mistake made by the rest of the league?
Oh yeah, I mean we said it We said
it was a mistake by the. I guess not because the Ravens won. But I was like, this is a mistake by the Ravens. How am I another team and all I got to do is give up 2 first-round picks? If I don't have a quarterback, I'm probably willing to spend 1 first-round pick on a QB. Then it's just 1 bonus one to get Lamar Jackson, and I give him the new contract.
But in addition to that, you are doing – a lot of the teams said they didn't want to do the work for the Ravens because the Ravens could then just say, okay, I'm going to sign that deal.
Which – that's so lazy. That's unbelievable. Well, here's the thing. We could maybe get, you know, a franchise-changing quarterback here, but
Red tape.
I got tea time tomorrow morning. I got to be out of the office by 3 p.m. today. I can't possibly make it happen.
That's why they need AI to to write
these
up.
How many people are doing the work here? Do they have one part-timer?
We kind of said it. I think everybody just knew it was going to happen. Jimmy G suspended for the first two games of 2024 for violating the performance-enhancing substance policy.
Okay.
The Raiders are expected to release him already. And I saw the Raiders projected in a mock draft this morning to take J.J. McCarthy in the draft, but they are definitely a team primed to get a quarterback.
I mean, the gift that the Raiders were given, because I believe, Kyle, you can correct me if I'm wrong, they can now essentially, his guaranteed money is gone because of this suspension where, I mean, sure, they probably were going to cut him, but they were going to have this huge money hit. And now because of this weird suspension, they get to say, well, we're not paying you the money, and we get to get out of this.
And I'm going to be honest. They didn't work that well.
Yeah.
Whatever he was on.
Well, I don't know what – I imagine this is recovery from his injury, but we don't know. We don't have the information.
The Seahawks informed Geno Smith he'll remain on the roster for 2024.
For now.
Yeah, I was going to say that's not exactly how I had read it, but the contract is fully guaranteed. They could trade him.
Yeah,
he's guaranteed contract now.
There was a period of time where it was like we knew that his money was going to go to him, and they needed, if they were going to for sure move on, they would have done it by Friday.
Tank Dell expected to be ready for OTAs. I think we're all excited for that. So typical recovery timeline for his injury was 4 to 6 months.
I have officially, between the Tank Dell and Nico Collins,
uh-huh.
I have
is this a declaration here?
I have officially switched 12 times.
Oh, 12 times.
Right, I'm Nico. Right now I'm okay. Nico about right. Tank.
Now, you were Tank last week.
That's what I'm saying, man. I like both, and I don't know who I like more.
I bet you like the one that's drafted at a lower cost by the time draft day comes around.
I have seen.
What if they're back to back?
I was going to say, I've seen them very close in some ADPs.
Nelson Aguilar, one-year deal to come back to the Ravens. They were so happy.
Okay.
All right. That is it for news and notes. We'll take a quick break and come back with some shocking stats from last year. Hey, Foot Clan. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, hurry, hurry. And social gatherings, they pick up, and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app, and replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit USAA.com/homeowners. To learn more and get a quote, restrictions apply.
Just checking in real quick, Jason. Is it still Nico?
No, it's Tank.
It's
Tank Dell now.
You've made the switch?
Yep.
Wow.
I'm telling you. It's
very short term.
Yeah.
He needs one of those reversible jerseys that's just like one's Nico and one's Tank. All right, let's jump in.
How'd you do that? It's actually, I'm not even mad. That's amazing.
All right, we're looking at the 2023 season at some fascinating, interesting stats that we dug up, that the research team here dug up.
Oh, yeah.
Doing real good.
Yep.
Lamar Jackson was the MVP of the National Football League. It was a far cry production-wise from his first MVP campaign in 2019. That year, he had run for 1,200 on the ground, 7 touchdowns on the ground, threw for 36 touchdowns through the air. This year, it was 3,600 passing yards. I remember there was quite a bit of offseason debate on that number. We were talking about whether we thought he could get to 4,000 with Todd Monken. Didn't happen. 3,600, nope. 24 touchdowns, 821 on the ground, 5 touchdowns on the ground. But the numbers that are very interesting is that Lamar Jackson was almost perfect when targeting any Ravens receiver in the slot. And it's kind of wild, the passer rating in 2023. And this includes Mark Andrews, Zay Flowers, Nelson Agholor, Isaiah Likely, Odell Beckham, Rashad Bateman. His passer rating to those players, 137, 130, 133, 154. That was Isaiah Likely, by the way. 100, Beckham was the lowest, and then Rashad Bateman, 140. So, you know, he had a dominant season targeting those players in the slot. Very interesting.
It is interesting. They weren't very good on the outside, and I wonder if that – how much do you think is – an indictment of the players that were on the outside. You know, the Odell Beckham, Rashad Bateman, they're on this list, but they had very few targets from the slot because they're playing on the outside.
I was going to bring it up of it may have something to do with just Lamar's comfort for learning this new system. It's a new system, learning it, and he was more comfortable in between the numbers where there's tape of go watch Rashad Bateman because that's a huge question of, what happened? Like, how was this first round wide receiver who had a couple good games last year, then lost the season to injury? How did he just vanish? And there's plenty of routes of seeing him beat his defender into a real easy catch, but Lamar's just not looking at it. There was a disconnect.
I was hoping you'd bring that up.
Yep.
Because there were a lot of missed throws down the sideline. There were only 11 of his touchdowns to non-slot situation. So that was the 26th ranked in the league, one fewer than the Cardinals. So there wasn't, I mean, I'm sure it's a little chicken and egg, but at the same time, like, he went with his comfort level. And he's also a player that, you know, pulls the ball down and runs it. And so, you know, will teams adjust to this next year? I think that's going to be a big question mark heading into the year. If you drafted Lamar Jackson after his first MVP season, you had some years of struggle. And so it's always going to be one of those dart throw situations. But he was dominant throwing it to, you know, Andrews and Likely and Flowers in particular.
Yeah, I think that's where he thrives a little bit more. But I don't see this as prescriptive for the future of, you know, this was an outlier of just being literally perfect passer rating whenever targeting the slot. I can't imagine that's sticky.
They struggled when their defense couldn't give them a lead. Like, they were not a play from behind type of offense, which also fits in with, you know,
right.
The reason they weren't good from behind is they couldn't throw the ball downfield. Their drives had to take a long time to get there.
They really need an outside threat. Like, if Mike Evans came here, I don't know if they've got the money to afford it, but it would be awesome. I mean, part of it is personnel, right? If you've got your two best receivers are definitely Mark Andrews and Zay Flowers. Well, and those two guys are living in the slot. So
right,
it makes sense that that's where he's more effective. If you can bring in a good outside wide receiver, that would be something special to see.
All right, let's turn the page here. NFL Draft Gold, we'll call it. For the 9th consecutive year, a team drafting in the top 8 of the NFL draft also won their division. This year it was the Houston Texans. They went from 3-13-1 to 10-7. And 8 of those 9 teams that have done that.
This is the real stat to me.
8 of those 9 teams were in the top 5 of the draft. So you've had 8 times in 9 years where if you picked in the top five, one of those teams ended up winning their division, which is crazy.
That is crazy. This last year, you say, okay, well, it was because you got C.J. Stroud. I mean, that was the massive difference maker. But you look back at some of the others, and it wasn't always the draft pick, the first round hit. You know, Trayvon Walker last year for the Jaguars did it. He was okay, but he wasn't a sensational rookie.
But that was also that's going from what's his face, Urban Meyer, right?
Yeah.
So the terrible Urban Meyer into.
Well, I think you had a head coaching change for most of these.
Yeah, when you're picking in the top five.
I mean, Houston did last year too. So to jump up that many wins.
They jump up on average 6.7 wins. That's crazy.
Just to put that into perspective, if that trend continues, here are the top eight teams in this draft. Carolina, Washington, New England, Arizona, the Chargers, the Giants, Tennessee, and Atlanta. So if you're picking one from the top five or the top eight there to win their division, the two teams that stand out to me, if you're going top five, it would be the Chargers. And if you go top eight, I'd go Atlanta.
Yeah, that Atlanta seems to be the most likely one because that I mean they were 7-10 pretty much contending for the division until the last couple games.
Yeah, I think if we're going top eight, I would pick Tennessee simply because they've got a beatable division. And if we're going top five, I would pick the Chargers, but again they've got Patrick Mahomes to worry about. I would actually go with the Cardinals. The Cardinals.
I think you're right.
They didn't. They tore it down last year. If they got rid of all their talent. They've got a ton of cap space now. They've got Kyler Murray back for a full season. Obviously, you got the Niners there, so that's difficult. But we've seen that the Super Bowl losing team very rarely has a wonderful follow-up season.
All right. The Washington Commanders became the first NFL team since 2015 to lead the NFL in pass attempts.
Yeah.
And yet did not contribute a top 20 running back, a top 24 wide receiver, or a top 12 tight end in fantasy football. There was excitement about Eric Bieniemy, Dotson. You know, you had
McLaurin.
A good start for Brian Robinson.
Yeah.
Everyone's always excited about Terry McLaurin. That's the default state of the offseason. Just never continues into the season. So, not an impressive stat for Washington fans. Pretty hard to do. You know, when Washington does that, and then you get top 15 wide receivers, two of them from Houston with a rookie quarterback, talk about a surprise from fantasy perspective. If the Commanders do draft a quarterback at two, which seems likely.
It does.
Will any of these Washington options end up worth the investment in fantasy?
Oh, man.
What's their average draft position?
The story would be bounce back Dotson, right?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. McLaurin has a quarterback.
Right. Number seven, seventh quarterback, or however many he's had.
The first time he's had a good one, though. That'll be the narrative.
Bieniemy's gone as well. So, no. That's my answer.
Your answer is that the offensive pieces there with a rookie quarterback are not going to do.
We've got him, Jason. We've got your best ball ADPs.
Oh, all right, all right.
Do you want to guess or do you just want me to give them to you?
Just kidding.
Terry McLaurin, wide receiver, 35.
Oh, baby. I'll definitely draft him there.
That's interesting.
I mean, he was the wide receiver 28 this past season with
he could finish
Sam
as high as 27.
I think he was wide receiver 14
that's,
the year
that's
prior.
A return. Brian Robinson Jr., running back, 28. That's not bad either. That's not bad. Dotson is the wide receiver. 55! And Curtis, don't forget about Curtis Samuel, or I guess maybe we can now that Sam Howell is out of town. Man, that guy loved Curtis Samuel. I think that
what is the lesson there? Because lesson that you can be fooled?
My takeaway here is where volume is almost everything for the running back position. Like if for a quarterback, and which translates into your wide receivers, efficiency is a huge part of the formula.
I just feel like we're going to be in the pendulum swinging argument making, right? Because then you got a case for everybody, right? We went into this offseason saying we said Washington might throw the ball a ton and be one of the leading teams in passing.
Right.
They were number one.
We said pass attempts.
We said Sam Howell might throw it a bunch, and that could be good. He did throw it a bunch. It was not good. So it's like, but then if you focus on a low pass attempt efficiency team, we're like, we need more pass attempts. Just feels like I've heard both arguments a lot in the offseason.
Well, and you're gonna have both arguments here coming into 2024 because it depends on what you believe in Drake May or Jalen Daniels. If you think Jaden Daniels, if you think those guys are great and you think they can truly CJ Stroud, I do think, like, let's say Kirk Cousins came. They decide to go out and sign Kirk Cousins. Yeah, I think
that would be
Terry McLaurin would be great.
that won't happen.
No, it won't. But my point is, Terry McLaurin would be great if he had Kirk Cousins. So if Drake May is a CJ Stroud, is a Justin Herbert, which I've heard that comp a lot for him. Well, then yeah, it is a value. Now, historically speaking, I prefer to bet against wide receivers with rookie quarterbacks. It is very, very rare, Tank Dell and Nico Collins aside, for wide receivers to succeed with rookie quarterbacks, even future good rookie quarterbacks or good quarterbacks in their rookie season. So I'll be betting against a massive breakout, huge success. But given where those ADPs are right now, it seems like they're still probably a little undervalued.
All the risk is baked in.
All right, stat number four for you. Kyle has titled this one, Time to Wave the White Flag. Speaking of Rashad White, who finished as the RB7 on the season. However, his 3.64 yards per carry is the lowest for a top 15 running back over the last 5 years. His 0.7 fantasy points per opportunity was below the league average. And if you look historically, this is where it gets interesting. If you look at the last 14 running backs who finished top 10 but below the league average in fantasy points per attempt, which he was below the league average, here's what happened their next year. So basically, if you had an outlier top performance with low efficiency numbers, what happened the next year? 13 of the 14 dropped in fantasy points per game. The average loss was 3.4 points per game, and only three of them remained in the top 10. That was Nick Chubb, Zeke, and Derrick Henry. I don't think we are willing to hand those that kind of a title to Rashad White.
And they remain in the top 10 because those are touchdown scorers. Nick Chubb, Derrick Henry, Zeke, those guys were scoring touchdowns in those inefficient years. Now, that is part of why Rashad White was successful this year. He found the end zone a lot, but he does not project to be someone that regularly sees the end zone a ton. He hasn't so far in his career. It was a lot through the air. And this isn't, a team projected to really be one of the top teams in the league. So I think the bet will probably be against Rashad White. He's currently the running back 11 in average draft position.
Yeah. Ooh. It's just how much you care about that efficiency metric and what we're saying here. I mean, I feel like what you just said about Tampa Bay was exactly what was said about them heading into the season.
Right.
Like verbatim.
No, I think I was way lower. I said this year I don't expect them to be a top team. I did expect Tampa Bay to be competing for like a top three pick. I genuinely thought they would be one of the worst in the league going into last year. They were good. They were not a bad team at all.
I think my takeaway here is just if Rashad White gets the exact same opportunity and his team is competent, then Rashad White will be fine. But this is the warning sign of
if, we might not be happy
if,
with that.
If anybody else of value comes into this running back room, and I'm saying like anybody, you could have a huge problem for Rashad White. Because if he remains this inefficient, but his opportunities go down, then it will be like you really hope that they're trailing and Rashad White gets 5 receptions that week.
Okay. I mean, you talk about a tough player to evaluate. It feels like RB11 is drafting him near his ceiling, so there's a lot of risk, according to this breakdown, in taking him at his peak.
And currently the depth chart for the Bucks is Rashad White, Sean Tucker, and Patrick Laird. So they will be putting someone on here. And last year it was Sean Tucker and Chase Edmonds were like, that was the competition. And while I had hopes for Sean Tucker.
But what if they don't?
What if they don't add someone?
Yeah. What if they don't?
Then
will you feel like just re-rolling it?
I will feel like it could be worth it, but it's even at RB11, that still is like you're taking on a lot of risk for a player who so far in his career is not known to, like, he can't A-chan you to a strong week.
He only scored on the ground 5 weeks.
Right. Yeah, have six,
so he didn't
six
score. He had six
touchdowns.
He only scored in 5 weeks. He did have a lot of these 20 carry games, which, look, I don't.
That's what I mean.
Those are games that you're going to have necessarily damaged efficiency a lot of the time. Because they won a lot of games down the stretch. So, four straight victories, 20, 25, 21, 20. So, you're salting away games, right?
Sure.
And I guess I just wonder if when you watched him, was he an impressive player or not?
I thought he was a fine player.
I thought he was impressive in the passing game, in the receiving game.
Okay. Yeah, he's going to be a tough one next year.
Yes,
because I think most people, it was a really good experience to have Rashad White. You got him at a low draft cost, and he was one of the most consistent running backs in all of football. And then next year, it might not be as pretty.
You should be looking for the next Rashad White, not
the same one,
not the one who's now overvalued.
All right, number five here. Let James Cook. He had 1,567 yards from scrimmage. James Cook, running back for the Bills.
This number really blew me away.
Third in the league behind CMC and Breece Hall.
I was like, what?
1,567 yards from scrimmage. And yet.
Did it feel that way to you? Hearing that he had more yards from scrimmage behind everyone other than CMC and Breece Hall, I was like, I got to vet this.
No, it didn't feel that way. And he caught fire at the back half of the year, but I think a lot of people, like myself, in the first half of the year, you felt like you understood what he was going to be and what he was capable of being for the Bills, and then you either moved on or lived with that. I moved on. And then the team moved on from their offensive coordinator. And then they moved directly to James Cook as the engine for the team, and he is one of only five running backs since 2000 to finish in the top 12 with two or fewer rushing touchdowns. So he only had five carries inside the five because they were forcing him to Latavius Murray and later Leonard Fournette.
Well, Ty Johnson got involved as well.
And, of course, Josh Allen.
Yeah,
not be changing.
Josh Allen is the largest threat to James Cook. Kyle, pull up James Cook best ball ADP if you could. It's frustrating because it's like the opposite of Rashad White. Of this guy is going to be pretty great. So running back 12. So right off the bat, who would you rather have next year at this point, Rashad White or James Cook?
Rashad White.
With the depth charts staying the same, it would be Rashad White for me.
Right, but I'm saying that you, in your mind, making the, which is like, that's what best ball is right now, of I'm going to make some projection bets of they're going to do this. Like, to me, the Bills, I was going to say there, I don't think they'll add anybody splashy, but they keep being in the news tied to big name players of like, they're going to try and trade for somebody. Like, maybe that's just the media and nothing's actually coming from the team, but I would expect the Tampa Bay backfield to get a little bit more shook up. So at this point, I would say James Cook.
You know, I could see both teams being very happy with what they have production-wise from both running backs. I mean, I do see that as an outcome. I think last year there was a lot of – Sean Tucker's name got brought up because we all said, well, they're not going to give everything to White, and then they did. They were like, yeah, we will. And James Cook, they tried not to give everything to James Cook, and that didn't go well. So it is interesting to have that dynamic. Now, whether they you know, whether they trust him around the goal line next year, I wouldn't trust it, but you're also not betting on him on the back of an outlier touchdown season.
Yeah, right? There's just it's one of those situations where you know he's not going to be the goal line guy. If he gets 5 rushing touchdowns, him being James Cook, if he gets 5 rushing touchdowns, then you know 4 of them were long. 4 of them were, you know, 10, 20-yard rushing touchdowns. They no matter what we want, no matter how much we say, that's the role they should not take that role from him. They've already proven that they are not going to have him in that role. They run packages, they take him out when they get down there, and they're going to keep doing it.
But
Aaron Jones was the number 9 running back in football with 2 touchdowns in 2022 on the ground. Number 12 in football with 4 touchdowns in 2021. That's my biggest kind of comp situation there.
Well, let me throw this out though. From weeks 1 through 10, so this is the old busted offense. 10 points a game, almost 15 opportunities per game, and a targets per route run of 13.9%. Weeks 11 to 18, 15 points a game, 20 opportunities a game, and the targets per route run jumped up to 22.6. So I can't necessarily offer you more rushing touchdowns, but what if I offer you
You're making a sales deal?
What if I offer you more guaranteed receptions for James Cook? And if you give James Cook a bunch of receptions, good things are going to happen.
Yeah.
Have I changed your mind?
No, because that's already what I was expecting. These guys are fairly comped. The efficiency is more with James Cook, but the total receiving numbers will still be on Rashad White's side. James Cook from that week 11 on would have been on pace for 48 receptions. That's a good number, but that's not like that's not one of those PPR machines that are going to flat out win for fantasy.
Yeah, and they're you know, I've seen the Bills mocked to select one of the top tier wide receivers in the draft.
They should.
If Diggs is back and they have one of those guys, you know, I would imagine his target per route run is somewhere in between the first half and the second half of the year next year.
That's fine.
Which would be high.
We'll take more than 13.9.
But Dalton Kincaid's involvement, I don't know.
Well, Gabe the Babe will probably not be there.
Right. That's why I said Dalton Kincaid.
They gotta resign him.
This team showed me that they can flip their identity on offense in a moment's notice. So, you know, I think they could do it again. They could become that pass first team, and it would be interesting. All right, quick break. Back with another big stat.
This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. 7-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. Hosted by Kevin Hart, Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by The Deal. The line between business and sports is getting blurrier by the day. To understand it all, check out The Deal, a podcast co-hosted by Yankees legend Alex Rodriguez. Every week, A-Rod and Bloomberg reporter Jason Kelly speak with big-time athletes, entertainers, and executives like Derek Jeter, Maria Sharapova, and more. The Deal takes you behind the scenes into the world of sports, business, media, and entertainment, and dives into the wins, losses, and lessons learned along the way. From Bloomberg Podcasts and Bloomberg Originals, listen to new episodes of The Deal on Spotify every Thursday.
Better be big.
All right. This is such a big stat, Mike. Well, this will be a good discussion. Kyle Pitts is the discussion that we're going to have. Last year, despite playing only 10 games, Mark Andrews still outscored Kyle Pitts by 2.1 fantasy points.
Yeah. He's good.
Somehow, Kyle Pitts led all tight ends in air yards last year. That seems shocking to me. He had the highest average depth of target, and yet his most yards gained on a single play was 39 yards. Whereas Jonnu Smith, his own teammate, had multiple 50-plus yard plays. It did come out that Kyle Pitts' knee surgery was more complex than people had originally estimated. I'm so thankful to hear that. Not because he had to go through a more complex surgery, but because there's a reason he didn't look.
Yeah,
he
watching
looked almost
him.
Robotic at times. Like he didn't know how to pivot properly. And so this is a very, very young player on a team where the majority of targets, like the highest percentage in the league, went to tight end last year. It didn't work out for Kyle Pitts. We're having the same discussion every single offseason. So is there hope entering year four? I have my thoughts, but I want to hear from you guys.
There's definitely hope because he's 23 years old. There's an offensive coordinator change. And Jonnu Smith had, you know, the big long plays, but they weren't air yard plays. I'm sick of seeing Kyle Pitts pretty much used exclusively 20 yards down the field. Where's just the regular tight end plays that all these, you know, you watch David Njoku just get right, just you're just running right across the field, you know, 3 yards in front of the line of scrimmage, just run across. That's where you need to get a talented athlete like Kyle Pitts involved. And the fact that they're like, if Arthur Smith was here this year, there's things I would like. I'd still like the running game. I'd still be in on Bijan, but I'd be 100% out on Kyle Pitts. His utilization isn't right. I think that even with a bad quarterback, which I project they will have, even with a bad quarterback, if the way they use Kyle Pitts changes, he can be valuable. So I am.
If you watched him last year.
Oh, yeah.
That was part of the struggle. I don't think those underneath routes were going to work because he couldn't get in and out of breaks without falling down sometimes. So getting him the ball in that intermediate space, maybe he's more healthy this year.
So where do you land on?
I land belief? On plenty of hope. Yes. I mean, we're coming off a year where we're heralding David Njoku in year 7 and Evan Engram in year 7. Like young athletic tight ends, assuming he is healthy and able to get back to full health, he has elite skills at the position that a lot of guys don't possess. And I think we can have more confidence in, you know, Raheem Morris and Zach Robinson on the offensive side of the football to hopefully use their weapons. You know, a lot was being made of the fact that Raheem Morris instantly named, you know,
Drake London
and Bijan. Like I've seen some follow-up discussions, including ones with Bijan and them just talking about Kyle Pitts' utilization and the weapon, the special talent that he is. So hope, yeah, I'm not giving up hope. He's the tight end 11 right now in best ball. But again, remember, and I want to say this a couple times this offseason, we mentioned the best ball draft positioning because they're happening right now.
Right.
There's a lot of those going on. It is our best estimate of how people are valuing players. But there's also some variation in best ball compared to redraft leagues in the sense that, you know, when you're in the middle of a best ball draft right now, Jason, when you take best ball players, you're also valuing some components that are different.
Oh, for sure.
Like upside. Like if Kyle Pitts, if you outlaid all the tight ends in football on a piece of paper with their lowest possible and highest possible seasons, you're drafting according to some of those highest possibles. You want yourself to have a chance at getting a top 10 tight end, or I'm sorry, a top 5 tight end from the tight end 11 spot.
Yeah, and it's not even exclusive to how they finish the season, but how big of weeks individually can they put up? Who has the ability at tight end to put up 100 yards, have a 70-yard touchdown, despite, you know, obviously this last year, that not seeming like Kyle Pitts' cup of tea. He certainly has that in the cards from what he was drafted to be. So, yeah, best ball ADP is different. I do think next year, if he stays around there, if he stays around the last tight end drafted in your league.
Why not?
I'll probably be grabbing two tight ends, which I don't ever do. But if I can grab
Jonnu and Kyle.
Exactly. If I can grab Pitts as my second tight end at the very end of a draft, why not? See if they'll use him right, and if he has that breakout, and if not, cut bait and move on.
Yeah, Zach Robinson did come out, their new offensive coordinator, and talk about Pitts and Bijan specifically having formational versatility, being able to move them around, play both of those guys can be slot receivers for you.
Yeah,
based on the formation. So, no, hope is not gone, but a lot of the debate around Kyle Pitts is centered around, you know, projecting him to be a breakout in years past. And I had a year I believed, and I had a year I was more out than anybody last year. So somewhere in the middle, yeah. Don't give up hope quite yet. He's too young. If he looks the same next year, I'll be worried.
That's fair.
Because we didn't know a lot about what was going on. We just watched it, and we were like, eh.
Yeah, hopefully I mean, they, with the new coaching staff and being a young, unsuccessful team, I would imagine you will see Kyle Pitts in preseason. And that will be, you know, he doesn't have to be involved for you to see how he's running a route and watch a couple plays and say, does he look like he used to look, or does he look like he looked last year?
And it's easy to blame Arthur Smith for everything that's ever gone wrong, ever.
It's yeah. so easy. It's pretty fun.
Not only is it easy, it feels good.
Yeah.
But the truth is...
Not listening.
The truth is that no matter who your head coach is, if you are a dominant tight end, you're not losing the amount of snaps and opportunities to Jonnu Smith that Kyle Pitts lost last year.
So you want Pitts to take some of the blame?
I think that he wasn't the player that he could have been. No.
Okay.
Regardless of Arthur Smith. All right, let's jump into the mailbag.
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 Yeah.
All right, our first question here. By the way, you can submit your question on the website, thefantasyfootballers.com, or dial our voicemail hotline, 302-464-TFFB. First question coming in says, full PPR redraft league. Would taking CD number one overall be crazy?
Yes.
Crazy, no. Overreactionary, probably.
Why do you think it's crazy?
Well, do you think that what happened down the stretch, the second half of the year, is the new normal for the Cowboys?
I think that when Cooper Kupp had a season most comparable to CeeDee Lamb's, he went number one the next year for many people.
That's fair. But right now, you know, CeeDee Lamb is not – when I've been in drafts, you know, I'm still seeing CeeDee Lamb go like third at wide receiver. But we projected and Mike, you predicted and talked about your second half sleeper being Dak Prescott in the middle of the year because – of how bad the matchups the rest of the season were for running backs and how good they were for wide receivers and quarterbacks. And obviously that happened, and maybe that just created it to be the new normal. But I think that was like pinnacle peak. I don't think you're going to have a season of that level of fire that they were on. Is 2024. I still think he's going to be outstanding, great, a number one, a top five wide receiver. But he's in the conversation where I wouldn't take him as the first wide receiver, and I'm not taking any wide receiver over Christian McCaffrey.
Would it be a somewhat shocking revelation to tell you that his run was really from week six on? From week six
yeah,
on,
it started right
206
week.
Targets, 2,000 yards, 16 touchdown pace. So first 5 weeks were not special, but that's a good run. That's a 12-game run.
Yeah.
The case for going with CD is buying into the evolution of the wide receiver. Maybe he took the next step because, like, Justin Jefferson, he could have a huge quarterback problem, or he could have an old quarterback returning from an Achilles injury, and you're hoping that it's not actually a problem, and you hope Kirk Cousins is good to go.
They re-signed Kirk Cousins. Which one are you drafting?
Well, hold on.
No. Just between those two.
This is Justin Jefferson.
Okay.
Yeah, I would too.
I don't think it's wrong. And then Ja'Marr Chase, for how incredible the ceiling games Ja'Marr Chase can have. Ja'Marr Chase has way more games than Jefferson where he just vanishes from the scheme.
The Cowboys said we're doing it all exactly the same again.
Yeah, maybe
crazy is the wrong word.
If you are super confident, if you're out there listening to Mike talk and being like, yeah, see, there's questions here, there's questions there. You know, is Burrow really what he was a couple years ago after this injury? Who's the quarterback? You know, Christian McCaffrey's been injured 2 or 3 years.
I didn't bring up Tyreek, who, of these guys, Tyreek Hill may have the fewest actual questions.
Yeah.
Besides him being what?
Older.
I mean, he's 30 or 31.
Tyreek Hill's a freak of nature.
Yeah, I mean, I think we would all probably go Jefferson and Tyreek ahead of Lamb.
I would.
I think so, yeah.
All right, Scott in Edmonton, Alberta.
Oh, bonjour.
Is that a real bonjour? That might be a hello.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
I don't know, yeah.
Although Edmonton, that's not in...
It's in Alberta.
It's not. Is that French country?
I don't know.
Quebec's French, right?
It's all French.
It's Canada.
No, it's not all French. Don't say that to our...
English is the official language of the province.
Well, then bonjour.
According to Kyle.
So it is bonjour.
Yes.
Okay. Any Quebecians out there, you'll get a hello. What is your suggestion on dealing with people in Dynasty and Keeper leagues that refuse to even entertain a trade until the NFL rookie draft? Do I just move on from trying to trade with them or continue to send them offers that I might be overpaying in order to entice them to trade?
You're not going to move on. Yeah, if they won't even consider trying to trade, then don't try to trade with them.
Yeah, man, don't.
Because they're not going to consider it.
Don't fight with a brick wall.
This feels like they just want the sense of satisfaction of pulling one off with
yeah,
one of these teams,
yeah.
But then they're going to overpay for it. Some people just need a breath, man.
Yeah.
And I noticed that in our leagues. Our leagues, you need a breath.
It's perfectly fine.
Yeah, and some people absolutely have a stance of, I am going to wait until I know where these players are going before I value any pick. And so if that's their stance, just do the same.
Yes, because some people are more afraid of the embarrassment of failing at that trade now with the mystery.
Yeah.
They want to know more, which I don't blame. Especially, it sounds like you're a guy who's probably gotten a few done in this league. And it might have gone to your side. And then people become more gun-shy. All right. Robert, Rich, and Denver, why do you guys hate Jerome Ford? He's steady, not sexy. He was a top 24 running back 11 times. I would imagine one of the views of hating Jerome Ford is that we didn't bring him up at all in our Running Back Truth episodes, right? We didn't talk about him.
We glossed over him because of Nick Chubb, I think.
Yeah. There was a Ford glossing that happened. So, I don't think I hate him.
No, he was good.
But
fine.
Like
if
I'm writing home to mom, I'm not. He doesn't come up.
No.
There's nothing that like. Why do you love him so much?
He was very, very serviceable.
He liked steady.
He was very serviceable. He was important for fantasy.
He had a stretch. He was giving you 10 points a week.
Yeah, he stepped up during the injury.
That's very usable.
I'm so proud of him.
Yeah.
But
he's got an expiration date.
Yeah, I mean he's the backup.
And maybe Nick Chubb, like, yeah, I mean our guys are bringing up that Nick Chubb could be a cut candidate. No, they're not going to cut him. I don't believe they're going to cut him.
I mean,
if they did, then yeah, let's talk about Ford.
Sure.
As the starter next year. But I think, you know, even if Chubb is still off the injury, is it 4 or 5 weeks of steady that you get? Maybe, if you're lucky. And they were giving goal line away?
Right.
I mean,
I'll give you the context. So he would be a dead cap hit of only $4 million.
Set to earn 15.8, would save $11.8 million if they were to cut him. They're not cutting him.
I don't think they're cutting him. I think he's the Larry Fitzgerald of that. They'll overpay Nick Chubb to keep him there.
And if they cut him, the reason they would have to cut him is because of Baltimore.
That's true.
And I don't think they want...
I thought you said Baltimore, but you said Voldemort.
Voldemort is because of Deshaun Watson and the money they gave him. If they say, hey, hero of this city,
the
Nick Chubb...
Ravens.
Nick Chubb, you are out. I know you had a bad injury, and we're going to just do you dirty and cut you. It's because of Voldemort. I just don't think they can... That's bad.
It's a massive PR hit, but... He is the third highest running back cap hit of 2024.
Then they'll restructure.
They could go the restructure route, but he's going to be playing at the age of 29. Kyle, do I have that right? Coming off that injury, I genuinely hope, because Nick Chubb is awesome, I hope it doesn't happen. But for how cold the NFL business is, it would not surprise me in the least.
I don't think they care about what his cap hit is relative to other running backs. It's just whether it fits with that team.
Well,
and nobody works harder than Nick Chubb to get back from injury. I'm betting on Chubb.
Again, I hope you are right, but his cap hit is almost $16 million.
I'd pay him $17 million.
I mean,
this
conclusive.
Breaking news.
All right, everyone needs to know this. Al Borland just watched, finally, for the first time in his life, he just watched the first two Harry Potter movies.
Oh, that's right.
Welcome.
Nerd.
I know who Voldemort is now.
Oh, my gosh. When did those come out, by the way?
I have no idea.
Can we get a release date for the first one?
The first one's got to be,
I think I was working in a movie theater when they came out. Yeah.
Looks like 2001.
What?
So 23 years. Man.
Oh, man.
Congratulations.
What happened to time?
Yeah.
I thought I was a young man.
Well, how old did you think they were? 10 years?
No, I thought it was like, I thought it was in high school. In the mid, you know.
Yeah. It was so long ago, it had to be in the 1900s. Wait a minute. I know it was a long time ago. You're telling me a long time ago was 2001?
So anyway, he had 23 years to read the books, and he didn't do it.
I don't know how Jason made it through the second one.
I'm not.
There is a lot of spiders.
Of fake-looking spiders. Like I am very, 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 very afraid of spiders. But bad CGI spiders, they don't even bother me.
They don't bother you. Hmm. Well, congrats.
Good CGI spiders. They can get me.
Have you seen Lord of the Rings?
None of those yet.
Okay. Well, we'll catch them up. All right. That is going to do it for today's episode of the show. Thank you for joining us, Brooksy. What do we got going on Thursday?
We'll be answering more questions, and we'll see what happens.
Okay. All right. All right.
I'm losing you. I'm losing you. I can't hear the question.
All right. We're still figuring Thursday out, everybody. We'll talk to you then. Thank you for joining us, and check out the Dynasty Show. It releases tomorrow. Goodbye, everybody.
Have a safe one. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.